Mark Wogenrich, SI.com. Every time we ask him, he says yes. Thank you, sir. Always a pleasure, and happy New Year to you. It's great to see you on Saturday.
It was. Thanks, Steve. I'm actually, you know, I don't want to make people jealous. I'm actually still one more day in Florida here. Just got off the golf course before they dragged me back to Pennsylvania. So,
What did you shoot?
Yes.
Okay. Enough of that. Okay.
We know how to move. Beautiful day. How about that?
That's incredible. Yes. Best shot you hit today was what?
I did make a nice putt. I made like about a 20-25 footer, which, you know, hit the ball okay off the tee. The rest of it, you know, the rest of it is winter. is you know, winter rust right about now. But it was just phenomenal to swing again.
I've told everybody, look, in the preseason, people asked me, and I said this several times in the year, I thought this was a double-digit win team that I was watching, I thought, in the preseason. So I was wrong, I mean, in terms of the assessment. Now, seasons play out. What was your assessment when you first saw them, and then how it ended?
I thought before the season that they would be on the cusp of a double-digit win team. You know, that 9-win range, I thought 10 would be a good season, just considering where the schedule was going. I think I underestimated them initially out of the Wisconsin game. And then, you know, we've discussed this before, and I'm sure it's been discussed on your show hundreds of times before. I thought that season just turned completely on its head. It just got tilted with Sean Clifford's injury at Iowa, and it didn't seem like they were able to kind of reimpose their game on people. I thought that that was such a crisp, you know, interceptions aside, I thought that was such a crisply played offensive game in that first 23 minutes, whatever, 28 minutes, whatever that was, with Sean, and then without him, it really just kind of disintegrated into, I think, what we saw in Tampa at the Outback Bowl. Defensively, I think we got what people pretty much expected. I mean, just that attrition on defense, and once Arkansas was able to, and you know, once they decided to, and then were able to impose a running will on them. I think we thought that, but I really thought Penn State was going to score more points in that game.
Yeah,
I thought, you know, coming up, you know, a month out, you know, with a month off and being able to reset themselves, and even without Jahan Dotson, and I know that there were times in that game where he would have been so welcome. It's, you know, some of those third downs, and you know, particularly in that second half, third quarter, when they needed some big catches. I still thought, even without him, I thought they were going to score more than a touchdown, more than 10 points. And that really sends the offense into an off season with a lot of questions. Even with a sixth-year quarterback, I think they still have a lot of questions kind of going into February and spring and the offseason. And it's not really, I don't think that that's something that they wanted to be dealing with right now.
Yeah, what's interesting is I thought against the Arkansas defense, I'm watching the tapes and I could see holes in the secondary. And Mark, I'm sitting in the broadcast booth, I'm watching the games, and guess what I saw? Holes in the secondary.
Yeah.
I thought Penn State would, at minimum, would be in the 20s scoring in that game.
I think maybe they might have got there. I know if there's a pass maybe even this season that Sean Clifford wants back, it was the ball to Theo Johnson.
Yeah.
He hits Keandre. And that's, yep. We could sit here and just, you know, yell that he's wide open. Even watching in the press box, you could see, you can yell that. But it almost feels like that play is almost more difficult to make that throw than it is a tight window throw, because then maybe that freezes you mentally, thinking, "Oh my God, I have to make this throw." And I don't know if that one just got, you know, maybe he saw it a second time, you know, thinking these kind of shots don't happen twice in a game, and jumped it or something. You've got to believe that that's a throw that changed the game to me. That throw, he almost even more than the interception. You know, he's just trying to wheel something into that zone, even though that, you know, that was a first down. I thought, you know, that's a ball he's got to throw out of the end zone. I think a senior with his experience has got to know that. I'm sure he does. I'm sure he just, you know, walks on the field and goes, I, you know, and says, I know better than to do that. But the Theo Johnson one is not, you know, that's not a play that your experience necessarily guides you on. That's still a feel play. Yeah. And I got to believe that he's just going, that throw, I make that throw, and maybe we're in a different game.
Yeah. And then, yeah, the other part, too, is I thought Johnson stopped on it at the five-yard line.
Yeah, and I was wondering if he stopped and just thought, I really didn't have a great look at a replay at that point. We were kind of discussing it. I didn't know if he stopped, if he pulled up, or if he pulled up because it was just he thought it was uncatchable. I really couldn't tell that. You know, if you saw a replay on it, you would know more than me. But it's still, to me, that's still, I'm going to side on the quarterback side on that one, because that's just a ball. Even if you underthrow that ball, which I think he did with the Lambert Smith throw, that it was just kind of that throw that you could slow down, make that. That's where you want that ball to be, instead of a ball that he's got to go get in the back of the end zone.
Yeah. All right. So let's look at another area, and that's we saw some players play in this game that got extended time. Olu Fashanu being one at left tackle. I don't know how much of it you watched of him, but I, you know, whatever I could see of him, I felt he gave a good account of himself. What did you think?
Yeah, and I felt like that they had a young left side for some stretches with him, and I believe Tengwall was on that side.
Tengwall played there too.
And I felt like that there were openings there. I felt like that Sean did have, you know, he had to get picked up on occasion, but he did have fairly good, seemed like, protection from that backside. And I think if they would have run maybe some of the backs a little more, I think those, you know, Nick Noah and Kevon Lee only had 10 combined carries in the game, which that surprised me. That was another thing that surprised me. But I thought, you know, those two players in particular, you know, again, not having seen a replay, I like the fact that they got in and that they got a look for next year, because I think they're going to be looking for solutions on that offensive line, you know, depending on you know, still the moving parts that are there. But yeah, it absolutely, you know, that, you know, getting Fashanu at left tackle was a real bonus for them.
Yeah, I do too, because it does give them going into the next season, because they'll get Sal Wormley back. Wormley was a big loss. I mean, he was going to start at left guard, Mark, and to be honest with you, when he got hurt, it was in a scrimmage. It was kind of nondescript. It was like, really? And
those sometimes are the worst, the ones you don't want to see the most.
Right. Exactly. But, you know, so you go, it's interesting. What was going to be the starting defensive line in the spring, Ebikadi, Tangelo, Isaac, Mustafa, none of them started the bowl game.
None of them, right.
The left side of the offensive line was going to be Walker and Wormley. They weren't there either. I mean, now things are going to happen. But it's interesting when you watch it in retrospect how it played out.
Yeah, and I think at one point on defensively in the second, I think in the second quarter, I counted a series where they maybe had two or three starters, like players you would consider as a full season starters. It might have been at one point, it might have been only Curtis Jacobs and Jair Brown on the field at the same time, and that's a factor of substitution, but also the guys who are opting out. And for a while, they really held their own. I think they did a pretty darn good job.
Yeah, they did. No, I agree with you. I thought they did for a long period of time. Harrison Wallace got in. Fashanu, and we mentioned he got in. Tangwall got in, you know, because he hadn't reached. But Budden and Kobe King did not get in because they each had played four games. Now, I'll be honest with you, James had tipped Jack and me off that they were going to do whatever they could not to play them for that reason. I know what today's environment is. How tempting do you think it had to be to play them just to get them what you talked about, that experience?
Yeah, well, after the game, James mentioned that it was their decision. And you know, if they're comfortable, I would have just assumed defensively that they're comfortable with that. They were more comfortable not having them go in, not having them play that game, and saving it for another year than they were, you know, cutting them loose and playing in that game. It's curious to me that I find it interesting that they would have decided not to play to redshirt, because that doesn't, you know, that doesn't happen as much. I remember being at the Under Armour game in Orlando 3 years ago and talked to Brandon Smith and talked to Noah Kane at that game, and essentially they were saying, you know, I'm going to spend 3 years at Penn State. I mean, that's a mindset. Now, obviously, you know, for Brandon Smith, that's the way it worked out. For Noah Kane, that wasn't the way it worked out. But I think they go in kind of with that tunnel vision that they are three-year players. So for me to hear James say that they decided not to play, I don't want to say I found that refreshing, but I found that actually unique, that they were, you know, take him at his word, if there were two kids who were true freshmen saying, right, I feel more comfortable having the redshirt freshman year, because if I blow up and I do great things the next couple of years, I still can leave after 3 years if I have two great years. But if something happens, I mean, if I look at, you know, a situation like Noah Kane, if I look at other players who got injured or something like that, there's something happens, and I have that fifth year, that as you know, as kind of a, you know, a fallback option. In my view, that's a little bit smart on their part to have some forward thinking.
I agree with you, because and by the way, the other player that got in was Zakee Wheatley, who did not get the four games. He was the other guy, so I wanted to mention him. I look at guys now, I'm like you. You know, Brandon Smith, I knew he was going to be here 3 years. I knew Micah would be here 3 years. Parsons turned out to be two, you know, because of the circumstances.
Yeah.
So you can get a pretty good gauge early who might be a three-year player and who might be a four-year player. I always thought one of the big bonuses that bringing in Lamar Stevens and Tony Carr, I thought they were both four-year players in basketball. Well, Stevens ended up playing 4 years. Carr should have played 4 years.
Right.
No offense to Tony. I love him, but he should have played 4 years. And that, my comments to Tony's dad. Okay? I'll leave it at that. And so I look at Budden and King, and I see guys that are four-year players. I mean, and that's why I think it was, you know, it was probably laid out to them, and I give them credit for making the decision, because I think that's exactly, I think they know who they are.
Yeah, and it's interesting with King, you know, having a twin brother who might view himself as a three-year player and who's already got, you know, he played every game this year, and you're not going, and to be self-aware enough to believe I may not be following his same path. I may need more development at linebacker than my brother needed at cornerback. That, you know, there were some discussions with people after the game about, you know, why would these kids choose to do that, you know, choose to opt out. Nobody does that. And I just view it like taking them individually and situationally, I don't know specifically where Kobe King and Jamari Button are in their career arc. But that tells me, as you said, that they view themselves with a longer frame. And they might be absolutely right to view themselves that way. It doesn't mean they can't shorten it, but they're giving themselves the option of lengthening it. And I think it's smart.
Yeah. Yeah. I think ultimately it's smart for them, and it's also smart for Penn State.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have a few off-season discussions, Mark, because I think this is interesting.
It's going to be another hectic, busy off-season.
It is. It's going to be a busy off-season because the transfer portal is going to get busy. And then we'll get to the spring, and that's when we're going to start to see what they think about how they want to solve certain things. So,
yep.
And 10 of those kids are coming in early, including the Singleton kid. So, all right, Mark, Happy New Year. Congratulations
on the
Congratulations on the 82 you shot today. I know you didn't want to brag.
That might have been 12 holes now, maybe 15 holes. But it was phenomenal. I love being out there again today.
Oh, you're killing me right now, because you know how much I love to play. Thanks, Mark. Hey,
thanks,
we'll see you soon,
appreciate it. See you soon, yep. Thank you.